You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Do you love the Tabernacle Choir? This year, the choir's music is everywhere you are. Listen to your favorite choir songs and music and the spoken word anytime you want on Alexa by simply enabling the skill.
Alexa, play music in the spoken word.
Now playing music in the spoken word.
You can also download the Tabernacle Choir app, subscribe to the choir on YouTube, listen on Spotify, and have access to all their wonderful music. Happy listening.
Welcome to another episode of Relentlessly Resilient, where real people share their real life experiences and the tools they've developed to move forward and live their best lives. I'm Jenny Taylor.
And I'm Michelle Scharf. Today we're going to do a co-host conversation, and I'm super excited to have this conversation with our listeners. We've had a fun day this morning. We've had a lot of visitors from other KSL personalities wanted to stop in.
It's KSL day today. I'm feeling part of the team and loving it. We'll post some great pictures to share what's going on.
Evidently, the interest for me is my love life. But
and since I don't have one, they just say hi to me.
And we're both happy with
it
that way.
What is happening right now? I didn't know my love life was on the table, but okay.
It's on the KSL chopping block.
We are going to talk about some challenges that come with having lost a spouse, grief, but also in what that means as our families grow and move forward.
Most especially our children as they transition from little child to bigger child adult child.
Yeah, and you have 7 kids, which is so amazing.
I thought you were going to say, which is so many, which would be true.
It is many, but not really in Utah. I'm kind of used to those numbers, right? I was married to a Mormon man. Yeah. He's a child of 6, kids. One of 6. So that not so much, but I have 4 of my own. 7's a lot, but your kids have gone through some real transition. Remind our listeners about the ages of your children when Brett passed.
Okay. So it's easy milestones to remember for me. Megan, who is our oldest, turned 13 right before he died. Very first teenager in the house, top of the 7, 13. And little baby Caroline, easy to remember, her first birthday was 2 days after the funeral. So 1 to 13.
And
with
he
5
left
more
when
in the middle.
She was
2 months.
2 months. Yeah. So She doesn't really have any memories of her dad at all.
She'll sometimes say things like, are you talking about my dad, Brent? Like, Brent, that's my dad. Because she'll hear his name. We talk about him a lot. He's still very much a part of
the family,
the persona. But yeah, she does not have any concept of who he is or was in her own life.
And for new listeners or those that have listened, it's been 5 years for you and I. 5 years. Mm. Can you believe it?
No. I say I can't believe it's been only 5 years, and I can't believe it's already.
I know.
I think grief does that to you.
Yeah.
Time gets all squampus.
Yeah, it's crazy. It was so interesting because John died. Brent, flew that flag for our family. Yeah. And 3 months to the day that he flew that flag, he was taken from us. And that was such, I know for me, I took it kind of as an affront. It's like this symbol that was given to me was so powerful because John was so concerned that I be taken care of in my life. And that flag was to me a symbol that I would be cared for and watched over.
An opportunity and future. Right. That's what it embodies.
That's what it embodies, the flag. And so it was so shocking. And I happened to be walking out of my husband's dad's funeral on that day. So much loss, so much grief.
Yeah.
And it's just complicated and hard, right? Yeah. It's just a lot of piling on. So then 5 years has come and gone. So much has changed in both of our lives. Where are your kids now?
Well, today I'm happy to say is the first day that I've ever recorded a podcast without a babysitter because my baby is in kindergarten. All day.
Wow.
And so that in and of itself, you're talking transitions. This little baby that was 1, that's my timekeeper. She reminds me time has continued because she's certainly not 1 anymore. She's in kindergarten. And last week, a week ago yesterday, I dropped my oldest baby, who's now 18, off at college in Washington, D.C. So we have from kindergarten to college in our house. All seven of my kids are in school full time. I've actually started back to school of my own. So 8 out of 8 are going to school. And those transitions, just quick caveat, transitions as children grow are hard, whether you've grieved a lost parent or spouse or something. We know that it's everyone. But there seems to be an added layer or maybe a removal of layers to the grief when you've grieved together as a family and now... I mean, I don't know how to explain it other than I'll start maybe at the end of dropping Megan off. And if we want to back up from there, we can. I left her in D.C. She walked into the door of her dorm with a couple items from the store that we had just picked up. And she didn't really turn back and wave or no big smile at the door. It was just she was focused. And I know that's kind of how she faces her stress is very inwardly. Mm-hmm. So it was easier for her to just awkwardly walk through the door with her pillow and whatever else was in the bag and just walk in the door. And as I drove away, the thought that came to me was, this is amazing. Like, this is my baby girl going to the college she's wanted to go to. She's at George Washington University. She lives at Mount Vernon. She studies in Foggy Bottom, downtown D.C.
Wow.
She took her first hot girl walk. That's what she calls it. Her hot girl walk around the National Mall. She visited 5 Smithsonians her second day there in one day. Like, this is amazing. This is dreams coming true of a child pursuing education and an opportunity.
And the energy in D.C. is,
it's
energy.
Exciting.
Yes. Every time I land in D.C., it's palpable.
You
can feel it through your body.
It is the hub of our nation.
It is the hub of our nation.
It
is the hub of history. And it's also a very big college town, so there's a lot of transitions all the time. People are coming in and out. It's never the same.
International, too.
Yeah, international. Yeah. And it's not stagnant, right? The energy is always moving,
kind of
and people are coming there to really pursue their dreams. Mm-hmm. It is such a crossroads of pursuit of so many things for so many people.
It is, and she's
and
doing
you feel it,
and she's doing exactly that, which of course is what all is why we raise our children so they can pursue their passions and their dreams, whatever they look like. But as I'm thinking all of that, in the back of my mind, it's like the little Pac-Man. That just kind of gnaws, you know, chomp, 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 thinking this is every step forward, every beautiful step forward feels like it's one more step that's behind us.
Yeah.
The closer we get or the more we progress into this beautiful life that we're living a beautiful life. It feels like the life of the past just gets a little bit more distant.
So just how was that day for you?
Terrible. I'm not going to lie. It was awful. And I don't know. I mean, I guess I should have anticipated that it was. And people would ask me leading into, how are you doing? Your baby's moving away. I'm like, she's going to school. This is what we've hoped for her whole life. And I'm excited for her. And
so
I love D.C.
Was it the moment at the door of saying goodbye?
No, the worst. Okay, I'll back up. So the moment at the door was I left. I was supposed to have left the night before the moment at the door. But the last flight out of D.C. back into Salt Lake out of any of the airports is like at 7 p.m. I would have had to leave her dorm around 4 p.m. We just weren't done. We'd run into some issues that the entire Mount Vernon campus of George Washington University electronic key card system went down on move-in weekend.
Oh, no.
So, like, nobody could get
That's
in.
Terrible.
So we kind of got delayed. And you know, you can only pack so much stuff in your suitcase. We had planned to get there and then go pick things up at the department stores or whatever. So I wasn't going to make that flight home. So I decided I would stay the night. But saying goodbye to her at that night was the hardest.
Mm-hmm.
For a lot of reasons. Evenings, I don't know. It feels like emotion catches up with you at night. But I left her that night having planned to leave her and go straight to the plane and go straight home to my other 6 children who surely could distract me and remind me that life is beautiful and crazy at home. Instead, I drove away from her dorm, not sure where I was going because I hadn't booked a hotel for the second night. And the hotel and the flight wasn't until the next day. And then all of a sudden that just compounded. It's the, what do I do? Literally, I called my sister because she is one of my SOS friends. Remember, Gandalf and Condi introduced that concept. Yeah. I called my little sister and just couldn't really talk because I'm fighting back tears. And she's talking me through, Meg's going to be great. It's going to be this. You can go visit her. She's giving me kind of the big picture. And through just choked emotion, I asked her, how am I going to survive the next 8 or 9 hours until I can wake up and get on a plane and go home? Like, which is so silly. And irrational and yet real.
Yeah.
So she started mentioning to me some of the coping mechanisms I have that I forget. She first asked me, she said, well, you can't go to the Latter-day Saint temple because they're closed, because she knows my faith is a is a source of resilience for me. She said, does your hotel have a gym? I said, I don't have a hotel yet. Okay, I'll find a hotel with a gym, because that, and I, not that I'm in any great shape of my life or anything, but I checked into the hotel. I went to the gym for a minute to kind of get my body moving, get my brain moving. And I will tell you, then I stayed up really late working on some projects we've got going on, because I cope by distraction. Right. Nobody's surprised by that. Then the next day when I was able to go back, meet up with her, we went to lunch, we got the last few things we needed. By then it was kind of like, okay, we've just got to go. Just that peel off the Band-Aid. And as I drove this time to turn in the rental car and go to the airport, that's when just all the emotions. And I'll tell you, it was impossible to separate my emotions of dropping off my oldest daughter from my emotions of having a dead husband. And I'm sure the moms who are dropping off a daughter with not a dead husband had a lot of emotions too. I'm not putting myself in this exclusive box.
Right.
But everything just felt like there's one more piece of my heart that's been torn out of my chest and left somewhere else. And it was, I'm on the airplane trying not to, you know, completely just bawl the whole way home, trying to focus on looking ahead. And my other kids were starting school. I needed to get back home to help them get ready. And awful, awful, awful.
In your preparation for this, I mean, you are who you are, and you, and we're coming up onto September pretty soon, and we're going to have the 9/11 events that you have going on with your foundation, with Brent's foundation. And did you ever consider, like, oh, this is going to be a transition, and these kind of transition can trigger grief?
See, I'm so naive. No, like, I, you would think I would know these things, or probably textbook wise, I know that. And had I been advising another friend, I would have surely said that. But I didn't get the emotional space prepared for that. In fact, I stayed that other night, and I was able to go to a family orientation meeting the next morning that I had kind of rolled my eyes about. Like, I don't need to go to orientation about how to have my daughter be successful at college. She needs to figure out how to be successful at college. Until that night had been so hard. So I got up in the morning. She had an orientation meeting for students. I went to the orientation meeting for parents, and that's when the school mental health specialist used the word transition. And then that's what I thought, okay, so there, I, now I can give space for this. But I hadn't prepped myself for it. I needed someone to say the word. I'm a verbal person. I wasn't falling apart. It wasn't a total train wreck. It was a transition, and we were going to have to go through it.
Right. It's a rough thing to go through in the best of circumstances, but you do have an added layer. We need to take a break, and we're going to do that right now. We're going to come back and talk about that. We'll be right back. If you are looking for the warmest office blanket to cuddle up by the fire, you should consider Minky Couture.
We are so pleased to have Minky Couture as a sponsor of our show, Relentlessly Resilient. With the most indulgent and highest quality you'll ever find, we know you will love them just as much as we do.
I have over a dozen.
And I have one in each of mine and my kids' rooms, but I also give them out as gifts all the time.
Seriously, it's like giving somebody a hug that they can have anytime they need one.
What I love about Minky Couture is there's not just one style of amazing blanket, there are several. You have the kind of stretchy, the big, the little, the thicker, the thinner. You can have it with the satiny edges or just the soft middle. Whichever type of cuddle up you enjoy the most, they have one for you, and you can check them all out in their stores. There are six of them here in Utah.
Treat yourself or a loved one to the gift of comfort today. Visit them in store or online at minkycouture.com. We're back. So here you had not prepared for this transition. You'd not given yourself the mental space to say, this is a transition. There's going to be some parts to this that can be uncomfortable. You know, when John passed away, I had kids living in my home. And shortly after, a week after, one of my daughters moved into her new home that she'd purchased. Another daughter went back into an apartment living situation. I had one child left at home. And then it was just within a couple months, everyone was gone. I got to do Grief and Empty Nester.
No,
all
awful.
At once.
Thank heavens for Carolyn. I still have 13 years.
And then I was 49 at the time, and six months later, I turned 50. So all these milestones, and it all
Talk
just came in
transition.
The same year. Sometimes I look back at that time, Jenny, and I look at myself, and I'm like, how am I standing? Mm-hmm. How can I be strong and okay with all of this? Yeah. And I really am.
How did I actually do that? Well, and people will say to you, how do you do that? I could never do that.
Yeah.
I think we're the first to agree, neither could I. I can't do that either.
Yeah.
And yet, what do you do besides just do it, I guess?
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about that transition. Your transition is unique. That counselor is speaking to a room full
general
of people,
body, yeah.
a general body, and they're just talking about this one transition. But you have a unique transition, and I'm sure many of those parents in that room have their own unique situations.
Sure, absolutely.
Many different situations. Yeah. But yours is unique in that, you know, you have lost a husband, and this is your first child going off to pursue her life on the other side of the country.
In a city that is so intrinsically connected to the work of her father.
Right.
Her dad was a political person. Her dad was in the army. We, in fact, almost moved to Washington, D.C. And
right.
that was another thought as I was out there, the time I was actually leaving and on my way back to the airport, whatever road I ended up by, drove right by the beautiful Iwo Jima statue. We've all seen it with the Marines pushing the flag up on the hill and from World War II. And immediately, of course, where does my mind go? Not to the history books, but to the fact that years ago, Brent and I had come to Washington, D.C. My first time ever in Washington, D.C., I was married to Brent with our first children. He had taken a job at the headquarters building of the FBI. We were there for house hunting, happened to be Veterans Day weekend.
Yeah.
And we had only been there for a couple of days to look at homes. We too had been driving by whatever road that is, seen that monument and pulled over because here we are, like, he's from Arizona, I'm from Utah. I'd never been to DC and seen these monuments out of history books.
Right.
So then I drive by it right after I've dropped Meg off and just remembered, not only am I grieving the loss of my husband and the beautiful life we had with Meg as our little baby girl, then in my mind, I go to the life we almost had. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, we were going to live here. And I could say, sometimes I'll say in my mind, and Megan often said it, we should have lived here. Mm-hmm. So I joked about it. She's gotten here about 15 years late, but she's here.
Yep.
This is where we were going to raise her. We were going to raise her here. Brent, whether through politics or military at some point, could have been doing work in D.C., so that was another layer of it.
Right.
But I will tell you, that concept of transition helped, but it didn't help take away the emotion. It helped me give space to the emotion. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel so afraid of the emotion. But as I went home, that was a Sunday night. Monday was back to school night for my kids, so it's crazy. I'm the PTA president. I started my first two classes at the U that same night. So fortunately, again, that busyness. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you, again, it felt like I'd lost a second family member. And the thought that came to my mind is what you said about how many children I have. I thought, I'm going to have to do this every other year.
Yeah.
I'm going to adjust to Brent not being physically with us. Okay, I can adjust to that. I'm going to adjust to my oldest baby girl leaving the nest and chasing her dreams. Okay, I can adjust to that. And then as soon as I catch my breath, it's going to be Lincoln. Then it's going to be Alex. And all of a sudden, the next 15 years till Caroline's 20, you know, we do that. I think sometimes in those moments, you feel the weight of so much, not just this moment. And I felt I've lost two family members now, two of my immediate family members. And the thought in my mind was, I just don't think I can do this over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my headspace when I got home.
Right.
And I fell asleep Sunday night after getting, you know, the kids to bed and everything. Can you remember? I'm sure you can. The first few mornings after John was dead, when you wake up. And it's like you're almost disoriented. You're in a fog. And it would take me a minute to put a place on, like, what day is it? Where am I? Mm-hmm. And that sinking anxiety pit in your stomach of, oh, yeah, my husband's dead.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm supposed to get out of this bed.
Yeah.
I felt that way the couple mornings after Megan left.
Yeah.
I mean, it took my body went straight to the grief of death, loss of a family member for a little girl who was away at college. And
yeah.
that's where I was.
Yeah. You know, I grieved John pretty hard the night that he died. The next night, some friends came over and one of my girlfriends booked me a trip to Maui. She and her husband were going to Maui. I slept for 4 days.
Yeah.
But of course, different situation, right?
Yeah.
I had a sick husband. I was exhausted.
You were exhausted.
I needed.
Your soul was exhausted.
My soul,
yes.
Every emotions, mental, every part of my being was done.
Yeah.
And I slept for four straight days. So yeah, it is disorienting. It's all disorienting. And my celebration of life wasn't orchestrated for me like yours was, which is good and bad, right?
Right.
And so mine took about 3 weeks, mostly because I wanted to hold it out.
You wanted.
Yeah, we wanted to hold it at the racetrack, and we had to coordinate with them. And so they got to pick the day. But yeah, you know, we go through these things, these transitions in our life, but often they do trigger our grief.
They take you back, so even subconsciously.
You said, you know, here I've lost two members of my family.
Yeah.
And you know, logically, she's not gone.
Right. But the emotions of it felt that way. Let's take a quick break and come back, and then I'll tell you how I was able to help my soul realign with a little bit of logic to help me continue with the transition.
That sounds great. We'll be right back. We are so happy to have Minky Couture as the sponsor of Relentlessly Resilient.
We both have several of these blankets in our homes for us and our families to get through those cold winter nights.
Oh, Minky makes the softest, most indulgent blankets.
And you know I feel they make the best gifts.
Any time of year, doesn't matter. Everybody loves a Minky.
Visit Minky in store or online at minkycouture.com. Treat yourself or a loved one to the gift of comfort today.
We're back. So are you, where are you at? So how does your soul transition?
Okay. It's funny, but not funny. But like, it's one of those things where you look at and say, okay, I was probably being a little irrational. And I don't know if you've ever seen the Steve Martin version of Father of the Bride.
Oh yeah.
Where he says,
love that.
The fiance right before the wedding, she overreacts to the gift and says something like, somebody says I'm overreacting. Why would they say I'm overreacting? And then the line is, I come from a long line of overreactors. I'm like, hi, I come from a long line of overreactors. So grieving, the school counselor gave me space to at least know that transition is normal, so I'm not as afraid of the grief, but I am grieving. I mean, this is a Harry Potter horcrux. I have torn my soul now into three different pieces, and two of them are gone.
Yeah.
Monday's crazy. It's back to school night for my kiddos and PTA and my own classes. Tuesday, I get up and go to the gym. This is me on the elliptical, just trying to clear my head again. And guess what? Megan FaceTimed me.
Oh.
She FaceTimed me. And I'm looking at the FaceTime. I'm like all sweaty at the gym and chatting with her while I'm on that elliptical. And all of the sudden, it's like this giant aha moment that she's not dead.
Yeah.
And that gave my body permission to still grieve and miss her and worry about her like every mother would. But I really had, I'd almost prepared myself like I'm going to have to learn to live life without Megan the way I've learned to live life without Brent. Now, without in quotes, because I still feel Brent's a part of my life, but it's so funny how that video phone call made me kind of laugh at myself like, she's just in D.C.
Right.
She's not, I have not had to let her go in the same way I had to let Brent go.
It's just a transition.
It's a transition.
It really is.
Where I She's can still talk
gone.
To her.
Right.
And so this is the train of thought I've had, and I've had it several times before and kind of have to remind myself when we go through really difficult things, which let's be honest, everyone has.
Mm-hmm.
When you go through something difficult, when the world falls apart, you've got one of two trajectories to follow. And I think one of those trajectories is to be aware of and afraid that the world will just continue to fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, people will say, oh, don't worry, it's all right, it'll be okay. Well, maybe not. Because guess what? My husband's dead. That makes it feel like everything's not okay. It's not going to be all right. Don't tell me I'm overreacting with worry about something, because my worst case scenario has come real, true reality in my life, in which case every other worst case scenario in my head is now a possibility. And that's one path you can go on, which leads to anxiety and worry and paralysis, really.
Right. It's called catastrophizing.
Catastrophizing. Unfortunately, that's probably a very good word to describe me. I am a catastrophizer, however you say that. The other path that we can take that hopefully is one we learn to take maybe with time, and again, resilience, the muscle as we exercise it, is I've been through my worst case scenario I guess that means I can make it through whatever else I need to face. Like, yeah. I have buried Brent and truly had to give up and surrender the life I thought we would have and the direction that would go and the ability to FaceTime that man. Mm-hmm. And so now that I've faced that level of saying goodbye to mm-hmm. someone, okay, I guess I can say goodbye to Megan at her dorm because yeah. I've got meetings at the Pentagon in October. I'll come see you. But that, it's funny to me how emotional, how subliminal my grief over my husband was the immediate reaction to saying goodbye to my daughter at college until I could see her talking to me on my phone with this beautiful big grin. That's when she was calling me from the National Mall on her hot girl walk. And it was just this huge weight that, oh, she still is. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's a transition. Yes, it's hard. It's still weird to walk by. I'll tell you what's the weirdest at home, how I know I remember she's gone. Her bedroom door is open because that bedroom door was always shut. If she was in there, it was shut. If she wasn't in there, she shut it so the other kids and the dog right. didn't go in there.
Right.
And I'll go downstairs and her door's wide open. I'm like, teenagers. And it just kind of makes me chuckle. But but it is. I surprised myself how quickly my body, my spirit, my soul, whatever you want to use for the word, went to the level of grief of losing a family member when in reality it's a transition. Mm-hmm. It brings a loss. Like I have lost little baby Megan. Mm-hmm. She's now 18. She's not the cute little blondie that she was that I used to carry around or take to the children's museum. But it's not the same kind of loss
yeah.
as the loss I experienced with Brent. And oddly enough, that Although has been does... invigorating and empowering to me to yeah. face the transition of her. But she's also only been gone a week.
Right.
So maybe ask me in a little while how we're doing.
Yeah.
I'm doing much better than
I was.
Well,
you know, the interesting thing about it is these kids, they do go on and they live their life. And this may not make you feel any better, but I was reading up on the amount of time we spend with people. There was an article on, you know, we raise our children. We spend 18 years of their lives with them. But then as soon as they leave their house, at best, if we all live a full life, we will spend 1 year of lifetime in the next
50 or 80 or something. That is kind of depressing.
It is kind of depressing, but you know,
it's the natural course of life.
It's the natural course of life. Yeah. And they grow up and they get married and they have their own family and they have their own stresses.
To do. Right. We want them to chase their dreams.
Yeah.
And
it's healthy and it's normal.
And it is a transition.
And it is a transition. And it's not easy. And I will say, as a mom who went through that early on 5 years ago.
I don't know how you did that all at once.
You know, and I've had one, Hunter, my youngest.
Right.
You know, he's been back with me for almost 18 months now, maybe a little bit more. He's getting ready to move out again.
Back on his own.
And get on his feet again and relaunch again. And those are all hard transitions every time. You know, they don't always stay gone.
Right.
And sometimes, you know, I got a little bit of a do-over with Hunter. He and I had a rough relationship before his dad died, and things were not really good between us. And this accident was actually part of a healing process for us.
Yeah.
And it's been beautiful. So, you know, you never...
Another unexpected twist in the story.
Yeah. And so, you know, that's the thing with life. The only thing that's consistent in life is change. Yeah. And so we get to roll with it. And sometimes there's some beautiful gifts that are hidden within in that process, you know, and I'm sure you'll experience many of them along the way.
And to tie it back into what we're trying to talk about here every week is it's the resilient mindset that can help you be mindful of those beautiful gifts, those lessons learned. You talk about all the time choosing to see the lesson or even create the lesson rather than hoping there just happens to be a lesson.
Right. I remember when I had young friends with kids that we'd get together at the park with our kids, and the moms with older children would say, enjoy it, go so fast, enjoy it, go so fast. You hear it all the time, right?
It goes so fast, they say.
And you're in the stage where I can tell you this is going to go by in a blink. And I don't mean to give you more stress.
I know, I'm trying not to cry
on your moment. You've got enough on your plate,
one
right?
One at a time, they're just going
to
grow up.
You are aware of that, right?
Yeah.
And you can see it.
You become aware
It does become this ability to to make you really consider
right.
sometimes the way you're addressing them,
yes.
the way you're responding to them, the willingness to stop and put down what you're doing to come to them.
Okay, that's a whole other conversation yeah. because as I've looked at it, I know we're out of time here, so maybe another day. As I've looked at it, especially with my oldest two or three, it's not just the chaos of the last 5 years between Brent's death and the pandemic and everything, but even when they were younger, even though I was a stay-at-home mom, I was also home always with a preschooler, a toddler, a baby, and maybe I'm pregnant. Like, there were so many ages and stages where life's just been so yeah. fast and busy, and it doesn't feel fast. If you're listening and you have like a baby and a two-year-old and a four-year-old, you're like, I don't know why every mom tells me it goes so fast, because it doesn't seem to.
Yeah.
But somehow they hit like 13 or 14 and you blink and they're 18, and I'm sure you blink and they're yep. 30. So
yep.
mamas and papas out there, hold on to the time that you have, but don't be afraid of the times of transition, because there's still time left to enjoy.
And there's some really beauty in there.
Some beauty
to
come.
And the gift is, and my girlfriends have been so good to remind me about this with my own children. You raise them to be independent, and that's what they are. It's okay.
This is exactly what we've always wanted, and now it hurts so bad.
Yeah. This is what we wanted, and it's good. They're out. They're producing,
yeah.
they're providing for themselves, and they're living their best,
their
life,
best life,
and they're figuring out what their best life is.
And they're building their own muscle of resilience
yeah.
that might look different from the muscles we're developing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, later today, I'm picking up baby Caroline from the first day of kindergarten. Let's hope she's willing to go back tomorrow.
Oh, my goodness. Well, if you've loved what you've heard today, you can subscribe for free to the podcast on whatever platform you're listening to us on. And if you have a story, or if you would like to nominate somebody who you think has a story, you can click that tab on the top of Facebook and set up a 15-minute call. I will be the one that takes your call. This is Michelle, and I'll be the one to take that call and interview you and see if it's a good fit for our show. We'd love to have more listeners come on. We're starting to have more and more, and it's just, don't you love it, Jenny, having our listeners come on?
Yes, it's the best when they say, hey, I've heard about the show by listening to the show, and now I'm part of the show.
Yeah, I just love it. So you can contact us either on Facebook or on Instagram, and just DM us. We answer our DMs.
Remember, whatever you do today, remember to be kind. You have no idea the struggles other people are dealing with in their lives. Have a great day, everyone.
Great day. Bye.
Hey, Casey Scott here, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Project Recovery, sponsored by Reprieve Recovery. It's a podcast about addiction, but more importantly, it's about recovery. My co-host, Dr. Matt Woolley, and I hear stories about overcoming addiction and going from rock bottom to living a healthier and sober lifestyle.
We also share strategies with people at all stages of recovery, and we hope it'll help you find what works best for you, and we can support one another. That's Project Recovery, a KSL podcast. Subscribe for free anywhere you listen to podcasts.